Welcome to Cobra Kai. This isn't your local dojo. This isn't your mama's house. There is no crying, no quitting, and no being a put. You will strike first, you will strike hard, and you will show absolutely no mercy.
At the end of it,
we'll come back and say, hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm eating waffles because, you know, show's got to go on.
You can't eat before we start.
Well, I did. I was just still hungry.
Yeah, but you were in the army. You can, like, inhale that real quick and then we can start.
Yeah, but then there's no comedy in that. There's okay. Comedy if I'm starting the No Mercy podcast eating waffles.
You have a crumb in your beard.
Probably. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the show, No Mercy Podcast with LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network. Wherever you get your podcast from, and the Genreverse Podcast Network YouTube channel, please do subscribe, follow us. Social media information down below, on screen, all over the place. Follow, like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. I'm Kyle. This is Christine. The other dude is Manny, and we are here to talk about Cobra Kai Season 4, and later on we're going to hear from our sponsors at Grow Generation. So, yeah. Manny, good morning, bud. What's up over there on the West Coast?
You know, a little bit of fog, but in the daytime, we still don't know what snow is out here. We can see it in the mountains in the distance, but, you know, we're chilling.
Nice. Yeah. Christine, how you doing today?
I actually know, but the
audience doesn't
know that, yeah.
I love how the most normal adult response is "I'm tired," and everyone's like,
yeah. "Yes,
yes,
yeah." That's like the adult default setting. Mm-hmm. It's also the high school default setting. Like, I know with like American high schools, especially like where, you know, it's just you've got all these, you know, like school things to do, and then with extracurriculars, and it's like them teen years, you need extra sleep anyway, and you're not gonna get it.
No, you're sleeping a whole lot less, and then when you're an adult, you're like, God damn it, I should have slept more.
Yeah, so like middle school, everything's downhill from there. So,
God, could you imagine what we would have been like, our generation, all of a sudden just being thrust into a remote learning situation like 2020 for most kids? Like,
I think we would have gone back to the Stone Age. Because if you think about it, we only had, you could have had cable, but that's, and maybe dial up internet, but that's really it.
It would have been like worksheets that one parent would have to go pick up every week, a week's worth of work, man. Anyways, Cobra Kai season 4, episodes, what are we at? 4 through 6.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it quite well. There's still a little bit that is kind of irksome, and I'm like ready to move forward, but
yeah,
we'll see what happens in these next few episodes. But Christine, what'd you kind of think of the middle chunk of episodes here for season 4?
Again, there's, you know, issues in the relationship. You know, it's this back and forth, and it's like, why can't y'all be buddies? And like, why are y'all jealous because the other one's hanging out with the other one's kid? Student,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Student's definitely better. But I mean, it's kind of like Miguel. Just, yeah. You know, he's the father figure. Johnny, you know, being the father figure. So it was like one of those that was annoying. But I mean, I guess it kind of made sense because they didn't have a strong foundation the way that Terry Silver and Kreese did. They were friends first, so it's like whenever there's issue there, they have a friendship. They know how to, you know, like, all right, well, we know how to navigate each other. We're buddies. With Daniel and Johnny, they don't know how to do that. So, I mean, it makes sense, sort of, but it's still the back and forth that just will not stop. So
that's one of the things that I was gonna, like, I'm fine with the fight and all that. Like, there could have been another reason to get there. I like most of that stuff of, you know, trying to learn to work together, and then the kids showing that there's different, you know, ways to do that. But Manny, what did you think of this middle chunk of episodes? Still better than last season?
Oh, absolutely, 100% better than last season. It's just funny because you can see that the kids are taking the lessons to heart, and it's working. But they're so entrapped into their love-hate relationship with each other. And they don't see that they're really changing lives here in one way or another, which makes it real a little bit more comical than anything else, because their styles are so opposing that one can't see beyond the other. And I really think that Johnny is really, really jealous of Daniel because, you know, Miguel's the first person in I don't know how long in his life he's really been able to mentor and to really look up to him. And now for him to be working with Daniel, who's, you know, established and mm-hmm. really, really, really got a strong foundation in everything he does. I think he's threatened because in his heart, he knows that he can probably take, like, in a, for lack of a better term, take him from him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's gonna prompt him to be very, very defensive. Then you add in the whole problem of him trying to tell him that, you know, he's banging his mom. It's funny because he searches it on the mm-hmm. internet.
Yeah,
that doesn't
then,
go well.
And then gets distracted,
as you would anytime you would look up the words "banging mom" on the internet.
That was quite funny. But you know, I think my biggest annoyance, and whether it works in the long run or not, or you know, whatever, but Amanda, just leave Tori alone.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ. Like,
you're going to piss off someone talking to that lady.
I don't know if she just wants to feel included into helping people or what, but like, I was even not okay with her showing up to her job because I'm not sure if it's because it's in the series format, but there are times within these four seasons where I'm like, these are kids and this is karate, and the way the adults act in some of these situations is very uncomfortable.
Like their life is on the, like their whole livelihood, not like, but, you know, life and death, but their whole lives are on the
right. But then again, I have to catch myself because we have dance moms, we have mm-hmm. t-ball dads and little league dads mm-hmm. and soccer moms and everything.
Yep.
So as far-fetched as it seems, it's not, because we know we have reality shows based on it too.
Yeah.
So yeah. In that retrospect, I have to be like, oh no, we are that crazy. Okay.
At least like with Amanda's meddling, I mean, it does bear fruit. You know, Tori is able to go back to school, and it's like, you know, this one didn't bite her in the ass, like getting a restraining order. So it could have been worse, but still, it's like, I'm going to show up and threaten this teenager. Don't you dare mess with my daughter. You know, it's just like, oh God.
Yeah. She's kind of annoying. Some of the, kind of just, like, story points that I kind of saw that were a little interesting throughout these episodes. We already talked about the mom and Johnny and Miguel's situation. I've enjoyed seeing Miguel get taught some of those, you know, skills that a lot in the current generation didn't get taught, because our generation didn't get taught as thoroughly as the one prior, with like the auto skills and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, I will front you the tools and the space to work. You're doing the work. Like that's what, you know, we had parents or at least parental figures doing quite often for the previous two, Gen X and millennials, more as you go back. Kenny and the Eagle Fangs stuff, it's still kind of like, I like the character. I like Kenny, and but we've kind of seen this before, but I can see where he's going to be setting up, maybe going into things, like I said, more kid focused again, season mm-hmm. 5 after this tournament and stuff. Terry, man, I think a lot of people, he's plays a couple parts, you know, one trying to apologize, which is, I think, legit. I think Terry is like trying to make things as settled as possible, not necessarily not put Cobra Kai on top, but I'm wondering if you're going to see him not necessarily be the bad guy a lot of people are making him out to be. The no fight rule is interesting after the sprinkler shit that goes down after the drive-in confrontation. I like that. That's a classic, not just a classic prank, but it's a classic movie and TV prank. Mm-hmm. Like Happy Gilmore even does it. Adults do, you know, go be on the ninth at nine or whatever. Sprinklers get you and stuff like that. That's the type of stuff this show that does, like, when it's at its best, is focused on the kids being kids in ridiculous situations, which is a lot like what the movie was. And then adults putting shit in their shit into kids' lives. Like, that's what the original movie was about. And that's what this show, when it's doing things right, it's doing stuff like that. And of course, the whole, you know, two biggest things than these three episodes is, excuse me, the kind of falling out and the fight between Johnny and Daniel, their sparring match, which ends in a hilarious tie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Hawk's head being
a different angle.
Yeah, no, different angle. Mm-hmm. And then Hawk's head being shaved, taking away something that he had basically put his whole identity into. His mohawk gets cut as retaliation for the sprinkler thing. There's a few other things like Sam and Tori when Tori's dressed as a mermaid, which was funny. At first, I was like, she's probably working at like a Chuck E. Cheese's or something like that. And then you see her getting all dolled up, and I was like, are they going to go that dark? Is she stripping? Not that stripping's a bad job or anything, but in this character's like. Arc that would be like that dark route
at
so,
that
so to
age
speak.
it's bad.
Well, yeah, in high school definitely bad. But they don't she's dressed up as mermaid for kids thing was hilarious. And then there's something else I'm missing. What else am I missing? There was a little something in there, wasn't it?
I would
the dojo recruiting, okay. The get woke stuff like that was hilarious. So I love this big chunk of episodes, and I kind of want to get you guys' thoughts on whatever points that you really liked the most as soon as we get back from this ad from Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
And thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode. So you've done heard us give some initial reactions. You know what happened during the episode and some of the biggest points. But Manny, what was your favorite moments here, man? And what moments do you really want to kind of like highlight?
It's not a moment. It's just a theme now that we're finally seeing develop in season four, which is really the core stories of the young of the young kids or the teenagers. You mentioned Hawk, who we've seen his ups and downs and everything he's gone through, and he's slowly becoming my favorite character in the series, just because I feel like he's really well written, and then I think Jacob does a very good job at playing his role, and at handling those levels of emotions, as any teenager should, because you're trying to figure out who you are, and I think that. We're really seeing that with a lot of the characters. Robbie is going through the same thing now that he's starting to, you know, become a mentor with somebody. Who do I really want to be? Do I want to have this Cobra Kai mentality? What does that say about my relationship with my dad, the way I'm treating this kid, and just his self-perception is very, very interesting to see just because you can see him working through it. And a lot of times it doesn't even have to do with him saying something. It's just he has very good facial expressions that kind of tell the story and you can relate. And I think on the flip side, we see Sam who's really starting to build up a little bit more of an edge that she had been missing. But now it's a question of how does she balance that? Because I think that she's struggling to kind of find a good middle ground. Where, you know, she's still that same quote-unquote sweet kid as before, but now with a little bit more edge, with a little bit more bite than before. And how does that play out? And then, of course, as weird as it was with Tori, because I feel like all of our minds went that route at first when we saw her mm-hmm. getting dressed. And then when we see her at the kids' party, it was kind of like, shame on you guys, including myself.
I thought Chuck E. Cheese first. I didn't go down the stripper route until you see the makeup mirrors, and yeah. then it's like, oh, okay.
I think it was the sleazy guy, you know, yes, the manager that just took it that far for me.
Picture.
But I think just overall, I'm really really enjoying their story's development, because ideally this is their series, you know, not necessarily yeah. you know Johnny of course and Danny, yeah, they're you know they're kind of the skeleton of it, but these other characters are going to have a more lasting impression now, especially if they decide to continue the series maybe post Johnny and Daniel.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Christine, what are some of your favorite parts or favorite things going on this block of episodes?
I did love the mermaid princess thing going on. it was hilarious, and I do like that. It seems like Tori is getting a little bit of control, compared to like when she got fired from her other job. But still, it's like you sent the children to glitter your enemy, and so it's like. It worked out for her, but it was just like she held on. So that was great. Like you were mentioning Sam's edge, and it's like, you know, you got to be careful not to have that edge be too sharp. And, you know, so it's like for me, like some of it was like, you need to calm down, girl. Don't poke the bear too hard. So, but it was nice that, you know, she decided to be like, all right, you know, Tori, get your education. Like, she didn't get in her way of that, where it's like, this is what you want, you know, go ahead and get it. Although she did, you know, put in some threats.
Oh yeah, big time threat.
Gotta have some threats.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was that. And I do like that, you know, she's trying to find herself, because she's been daddy's girl for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been great. And then it's been a struggle seeing Daniel and Johnny not get along. It's pissing me off. they still can't get it together. It's like, how old are y'all? Come on.
What if they're not meant to? What if they're really truly like not meant to? What if it's meant to be oh, the dog's just cleaning. I thought the dog was about to throw up. What if it ends up being like you know, Johnny takes over, keeps the Cobra Kai name, kind of encompassing all of the new Miyagi-Do stuff that he learned, his students learned, and Daniel rides off to be a car salesman still,
yeah,
and the kids carry
like
on,
yeah,
and Johnny in the background.
For these three episodes, I had more negative thoughts than I did positive. I like how they did, you know, the episodes. They were nice, but it's still like Daniel's trying to control the situation,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, well, let me take over and we'll do Miyagi-Do. And it's like, you don't understand what a mashup is. Mm-hmm. You don't understand a combination, you know, merger thing going on here. And it's like, it's not all about you. So it's still kind of annoying with that part. So I'm hopeful for their future.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the fight scene was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the fight is pretty badass. Manny, are you kind of upset at the kind of falling out again? Like we're still dealing with the two being separated, or are you okay with it more the way they're doing it right now?
Well, we've seen it now for three seasons. This is the fourth. So I mean, tiring. I think that's just kind of what it is. And if they'd stopped, or but at least they're arguing over different things,
right?
And now now it's like they take, I would call it two steps forward, then one back, and mm-hmm. like they make progress, but they kind of slow themselves down. I do wonder though, and I wanted to ask you both this. Don't you both feel that the Mr. Miyagi would actually, you know, counsel Daniel a little bit to be a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more open to Johnny's ideas and working together.
Absolutely.
I just feel that with as much as Danny quotes Mr. Miyagi, I'm like, dude, I think he would tell you you're wrong in some of these situations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how you'd take it. But mm-hmm. because you revere him so much, it was just a curious thought I had.
Yeah, I think so as well. And it's a hard thing to you know, kind of try to find out, you know, what could you take from past movies to maybe wrangle that thought together. And you start thinking about things from the second movie, which they touched on in the previous season, from the stuff in Okinawa and whatnot. You know, like I said, it's only irksome because we keep expecting it to end. But what if it doesn't? You know, what if it's we'll never see eye to eye. I'm not, you know, this isn't for me anymore type deal. I could be okay with that. It's just the fact that they keep getting them together for things, having stuff where, like, the training montage was great. Like, I mm-hmm. loved that was so cool, that type of element that they really added into season two, and then in season three especially, even though the most of the season wasn't that great. Those are some of the coolest moments where they're realizing how much they do have in common and how yeah. cool they could be together and things like that. And that, I guess that's kind of why, again, you know, getting into season four, it's like, damn it. Again with the breakup guys, you're worse than my parents. My mom broke up with my dad like 5 times before they
my mom stuck did that a couple times too with yeah. my dad.
Crazy people.
I think with adults, it's so hard to say I am wrong and I am sorry. We teach our kids that and then we don't follow it. So sometimes even like when I have to do that, I'm like, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I hope we can be okay, you know. So it's like that, where it's, you know, just it's so hard to do.
I don't know. Maybe because of how many mistakes you can make in the military, and then how many times you do at the look. Sorry. I apologize. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm a sorry sack of shit. That was my fault. Like apologize when I know I'm wrong, or mm-hmm. if I've upset someone and it really truly wasn't my intentions. And if I upset someone and I don't care, I'm not likely to apologize. But I mentioned the training montage and mm-hmm. We get to see something kind of similar as these two train up for this fight that they're gonna have to decide who takes over the training of the students, and you see them training their separate ways, right? I like it. Again, the montages are part of you know, the era of the films that this series is spawned from, Karate Kid, 80s movie, and getting to the fight, the kids hyping it up, the fact fucking Johnny tweeted it all out, and I love that. He's like asking Twitter, like, how do I work this thing, or Facebook or whatever it is. It's hilarious yeah. that they could still throw back to the fact that he's technologically illiterate. The fight is great, and Manny, I know you and I look at a lot of fights very very often. As sloppy and as and it's not horrible. They're better at their martial arts than I am. But as rough as it can look around the edges for those two actors to be going at it, Zabka and Machio, wasn't it cool to see so many close ups and long stretches of punches and kicks and throws and stuff? I dug it, man. What'd you think about the actual fight itself on the sparring mat?
Well, here's the thing. If it didn't look sloppy, it wouldn't look realistic either. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. these are old guys who aren't necessarily yeah. doing karate
every day.
Every day.
Especially with competition.
Especially with as much as Johnny drinks. I would say that, you know, maybe Danny's a little bit more just settled, but he has a more defensive style, of course, mm-hmm. that is the Miyagi-Do way. So if it was clean, crisp, and they were cutting away, and they were bringing in doubles to really, spice it up and enhance it. And no, I needed the sloppy look. I needed the tired look, because that's what they are.
This isn't
Shang-Chi where you know, we need that hyper realistic, you know, type of kung fu or martial arts. This is this is two old guys trying to sell a crutch. So
yeah, bunch of children.
I did like they didn't go for too much huffing and puffing. They mm-hmm. like you said, it's very realistic. These guys aren't in awful shape, could probably hand both of us our asses just because of what
even
they know.
Even one-handed. Yeah,
you know, but I like that aspect. I kind of, and I know some of it deals with more than just an actor not wanting to mess up their pretty face, but because there's labor laws, physical things, insurance, health, like a lot of stuff goes into it. But I do wish that they got kids that either could or sometimes would do more, like Macho and Zabka did.
It's funny though, because even if your background is in stunts, and this is something I learned via
they can
via
still hold keep you from doing shit,
the studios themselves will say no, because if you get hurt, you stop the entire production.
Yep.
So it's not a lot of times, unless you are in charge and like a Tom Cruise, for example, where it's like, this is my money. You know, I will do what I want, and then a lot of times, just based on the fact that you can screw up an entire shooting schedule, and in turn, you know, certain actors only have certain windows that they can work because of other projects. That's really the big reason why. So I don't blame them for it. A lot of them want to because it's fun.
Holland says stuff like that on the MCU sets too, which is why I said, you know, most people think it's about an actor not wanting to hurt their pretty face, but it's not. There's a lot of things that could go into it. I just wish that they could. And sometimes every now and then there is someone that doesn't want to because of another role coming up or whatever, would if they were allowed to. But regardless, overall, it's been really, really fun. The only last kind of, or well, Christine, about the fight, anything you wanted to throw in there, the way it went, ended, or anything?
No, I think it ended perfectly. Where it's like,
it was funny.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Y'all aren't better than the other. It
was so funny. I didn't think they were going to do, I figured it would get interrupted,
exactly,
not finished.
I thought Hawk would come in with his shaved head at that point, because, I mean, that was, like, that just happened. So I figured he'd come in and, you know, have, like, a gloomy look on his face, and then they'd all stop, and then be like, oh, we need to cut this shit out.
Yeah, no.
And then it didn't happen. They decided to knock each other out.
It was a good deterrent afterwards, though, because I feel like they could have probably bickered a little bit more afterwards, or it would have just been bad. But the fact that he comes in really shows also just how much care they have for him, because his situation was the most important at that moment, and they were able to, you know, put it aside for a second. So it was well done. I think this it's a total classic wrestling move also, and you're trying to put two guys over, and you can't have anyone take a lot, because you couldn't have either of them lose from the from the beginning of that fight. I was like, neither of these guys will lose. There's no way.
Nope.
Because you cannot belittle one or the other.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not until the story that you've been telling or trying to continue to tell. I like you mentioned it earlier, Manny, and we'll wrap it up touching on Hawk and then the recruiting scene, because that was absolutely hilarious.
That was great.
But Eli is this great character. A lot of people can relate to the character of being good at something, maybe even getting a little bit famous, having that, you know, I don't mean like world famous, I mean like school famous, so to speak, you know, popular, maybe lose that because of one mistake or one past thing coming out. And, you know, people have imposter syndrome, or what we used to just call an identity crisis, you know, or, oh, you know, I can't be the punk rocker I am. I got to go be the preppy kid to get the pretty girl. No, fuck that shit. You know, go fucking metal or rock or whatever. So I like the character a lot, and I think you're right, Manny. It's a good character to kind of follow, And yeah, anyone got anything else to say on Hawk or how fucked up it was to take away his mohawk?
I think it was important to take it.
Yep.
You know, it's like...
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. not fucked up that they did it in store, yeah, but like in have, universe, like that's a big deal.
It is, because, yeah, I mean, like, you know, that was like the turning point for him gaining confidence and stuff. So like to lose it would be really devastating. And so like he was just kind of sulking for a while, understandably. And luckily, you know, he had a great friend, Dimitri, pull him out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he's more than just hair.
Yeah, absolutely. And that Dimitri scene was important, man. Wasn't it?
Yep.
And I don't mean just for the story. I mean for, like, all of us, you know, as people.
I think Dimitri has really come into his own, and we'll get to talk a little bit more about that next episode. But... which is why I actually didn't even bring him up when I gave my list of other things going on, because we're not really there yet.
Yeah.
But he's that friendship between Dimitri and Hawk is just so important. And it's one of the you know, his the way he sees things compared to Hawk is he looks back and he remembers all the times they spent together and the things they've done. And he really knows him for who he is. And sometimes you need that kind of person in your life.
Jesus, dog.
I know, right?
So I agree. And I can't wait to, you know, get into in our final episode next week this, but that recruiting scene, Miguel, you know, they go after all the females,
and they don't know how to talk to them.
Yeah. Cause the new rules for the, karate tournament includes, gender divisions, skills tournament, in addition to the sparring tournament. So all the schools think that they've got, you know, pros and cons and they got to recruit. Just the weird guy here. Let me give you my number. Let me get your number. Which girl is yours? Oh, I don't know yet who you got your eye. All of that is just hilarious.
Yeah. His idea of trying to dress somebody up as a girl was
funny. Yeah.
I know, that was so dumb.
Calling in ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield. Oh my god.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. I love it. But one of the funniest lines comes from when they're going to go after Piper's girlfriend, I think. Is that her
Moon's
name?
Moon's girlfriend. Ex-girlfriend. Yeah.
What? Someone's in there's name's Piper. And anyways, yeah, maybe that was the girlfriend. Characters. Was it the girlfriend? Okay, anyways. They go to her, but they're like, you know, look, she's, you know, really in the terms they're using is woke and female empowerment, LGBTQ representation via sports and athletics and whatnot. And hearing Johnny have to say the things that he says, it's over the top. And in my mind, it is a statement on just how difficult it is to even in real life walk those lanes with some people, you know?
Yeah, where it's like you can't say, you know, like, oh yeah, drink this, it'll put hair on your chest. You know, it's not
I've got
work.
Hair on my chest, what about it?
Yeah, so I mean it was funny, and I like how he was like, man, I learned all what is it I learned all that
I learned work. Feminism for nothing or
exactly.
something
exactly. It was so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, like to me, it's like it kind of. I was like, at first, I was like, that asshole. I can't believe she didn't show up, and she's going with. Well, it checks out. I mean, she is Moon's ex, so it's like I wonder what caused them to break up. So it's like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm sure you'll find someone. Just, you know, try not to get arrested. but yeah, I like how the girl on the debate team. Where it's like, no, she's perfect. Okay, yeah, we'll ask her. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I like that. What did you think about all that mess and finally seeing the girl on the debate team who that one nerdy kid had already recommended her earlier?
Well, it just shows that, you know, you're not supposed to really...
Riza, stop.
Anyone really has the potential to be part of a team because having... Just being athletic sometimes isn't enough. Sometimes there's a lot of times there's a mental aspect to things, and and whether you need to train mentality or you need to train physicality, you can bring in a variety of different people. But she was great, and it made for a good time, because I found it interesting even before the recruiting, just how fish frenzy, I don't know how you want to call it, it seemed like the council for the tournament war, mm-hmm. about like, oh yeah, we're gonna make this, is gonna be so good, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, man, like, you guys just almost shut this whole thing down a little bit ago, and now you guys are all like expanding
and
trying to see who can bring in a celebrity, and this other that. Or, you know, the monetization of it all. But again, we see it all the time with kids' leagues. So, mm-hmm. not far from the truth. it's very funny how there's a lot of media now that maybe in the early 2000s would seem really far-fetched.
Yeah.
And we look at it now and it's funny, but it's like, no, that's actually what we're going through.
I'm sorry, Christine's trying to get the animals out of the office. I dig it. I'm excited to wrap it up next week with you guys. It'll be sad to see it go, but we'll definitely be back for the following season as well. But what's up, man?
So before we wrap it up,
yeah, sure,
let's talk a little bit. So far we've covered six episodes, but tell me what you thought so far of the return of Silver.
Silver, yeah. Like I kind of said earlier, and Christine and I are kind of not watching ahead from what we review each week, so after we're done recording this, we're free to watch the next four. Like I said, I like it, and I like the fact that he doesn't just slip into old ways. He's not coked out of his mind or anything like that, like he mentions earlier in the season. He's not torturing anybody. Offers really good advice several times, which mm-hmm. is why I said, you know, maybe this is the guy who is like, I can make this right for myself and what happened in the past for Daniel. I can make it right for John Kreese, mm-hmm. who might feel abandoned by me. And they kind of hint at that in the flashback to when they first wanted to start the dojo and whatnot in the valley. That actor, I forget his name right now, but he's doing a great job. I'm fine with the character. I was nervous at first because of last season, and I'm pretty cool with it. What about you, Manny?
No, I think it's being simmered out very, very well. But we know his past.
Yeah.
We saw what he did in the wine cellar in the first episode. So I feel like there's a fuse there.
Yeah, potentially.
We're getting close, and I think
it's maybe not as explosive. Mm-hmm. Probably, I don't think so. A little older, a little wiser.
Mm-hmm.
But like for him, like when he said, "Don't fight," you know, it's, he's like, "What do you want to win, a petty battle, or do you want to win the war?"
Yeah.
kind of mm-hmm. thing. So it was like he can think clearly, and you know, have some plan, you know. There's a battle plan there, and it's like, just hold on,
mm-hmm.
you know, just hold your fire, and you can, you know, attack later.
And a lit fuse, I mean, there's a huge difference between a shape charge and a cratering charge. You know, shape charge has got a very specific point. It's designed to do a very, very specific job and explode in a specific way at a very specific target, while cratering charge is slow, pushing more force meant to make a giant fucking hole in the ground. So the fuse that's lit, who does it go off on, and in which way, kind of depends, because you know, someone that's able to have that much anger but properly channel it, they become Goku. So
yeah,
and you go Super Saiyan so.
And still lose to Superman.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to bring that up. I know there's somebody gonna be listening who's gonna be like,
yeah. Anyways, guys, thank you for checking out the No Mercy podcast again this week. Next week, we'll be doing the final four episodes and wrapping it up for the year. While you guys are waiting on all that, check out LRMonline.com for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. We've got interviews, the podcast, news pieces, buzz, rumors, leaks, opinions, the whole nine, reviews. All of our podcasts are available wherever you get your podcast from. I've got Spotify up on the screen for you guys now. Daily Cup of Genre. We didn't do one today / yesterday for you guys. I might actually put this up today because, anyways, it's hard to do like three shows in a day. But Anime Versal Reviews, Marvel Multiverse Monday, Breaking Geek Radio, The Cantina doing Book of Boba Fett. That'll be out Thursday chapter 3. And of course, the new Genreverse Podcast Network channel on YouTube. Please do take a moment, head over there, subscribe. All the podcasts go there now, but don't forget and don't unsub from the LRM YouTube channel, because all the great celebrity interviews and red carpet moments, and even a few set interviews, round tables, all go up over there. Something from Smiling something, or a gig had an interview like 13,000 views in the first 24 hours. Some Adult Swim cartoon. Good job, gig. Nice pickup on that. And if you guys are into like literally everything on here, so mm-hmm. Yeah. Manny, you want to talk any more about any particular interviews you want to highlight or?
A little bit later today, I'll have Jenny Ortega for Scream. She's nice. She's the one who does the that opening that mm-hmm. famous opening scene, but now with a little bit more of a modern twist. Mm-hmm. I also have a lot of the cast coming up of season 10. Well, they've been on the cast for 10 seasons now of Letterkenny on Hulu. Mm. And also tomorrow I'll have, if not tomorrow, Friday, I'll talk to one of the actresses for the new CW Arrowverse show. Yes, it's still the Arrowverse. It's not the CW-verse or whatever the heck they want to call it. One of the actresses from Naomi. And then a lot of also stuff that is coming up from ABC, Hulu, and Freeform, because I am doing the winter conferences that they're showcasing a lot of the things, including the last season of Blackish, Steve Harvey's new Judge show, which is hilarious, as well as some interviews today, which I'm doing, which won't be out till Monday, for How I Met Your Father.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
Christine, anything you want to throw out there?
I just wrote an article on The Great season 3 gonna be coming.
Great show.
The Great completely took me by surprise. I got to talk to some of the actors from it a couple weeks ago, I had no idea. I thought it was like a more like a like a traditional one. I did not know it was comedy, so it hit me like dark in the comedy. Face. So good.
Yes, very very, very dark. It is a good what they traditionally call black comedy. It's great. It's hilarious. Very dark and twisted. I love it. Anyways, guys, you know what I do. All our social media information is down below. And podcast, man, edit all this crap and suffer for it. So guys, please do subscribe, follow. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.